we actually refer to them as tethered aerostat systems. And what it is, it is a large material envelope, fabric envelope that contains helium lifting gas that's tethered to the ground through a rather sophisticated tether with it that is both a structural element and contains electrical power and fiber optics for data transmission. And that comes down to a mooring platform, and when the system is deployed and put up at altitude, it can stay up there for weeks at a time collecting data and providing information back to the warfighter on the ground. So it's a very competent, fairly simple in principle to use system, but has some very interesting technologies embedded in the overall system.
Well, what's the advantage of having something tethered versus, say, an old-fashioned blimp that can move around?
Well, part of it is the utility and the number of hours you can stay aloft. A free-flying airship is typically fueled, which means it has to land at some point, even if it's unmanned, and get refueled. A tethered system can stay aloft for continuously 24/7 for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, maybe more, depending on conditions. So it gives you that true persistence that a conventionally powered vehicle can't give you by avoiding the takeoffs and landings that you need with those type systems.
And what are they doing up there?
Well, they are taking sensors on board that allow the warfighter to get enhanced situation awareness by seeing from a high point, if you will. It's getting the high ground by using an aerostat, and it, with the sensors on board, allows the warfighter to look well beyond what he could normally see from the ground, and also collect that data and distribute it to others who have need for it in execution of their duties. So it's a very inexpensive and effective way to give him those eyes on target that let him surveil a very broad area in the operating area.
And tell us again, how high is it, and what kind of radius can it see, or what's the diameter of its viewing area?
Well, the systems are designed to fly up to 5,000 feet above ground level, and if you were at that altitude, the actual horizon would be at about 100 miles. Depending on where they're located, again, we're some basic rules of physics and aerostatics here, they will typically fly somewhat altitude somewhat less than that, so hence the horizon becomes a little less. So less than 100 miles of horizon distance, they typically operate to a few thousand feet above ground level.
Do you have any problems with people wanting to, you know, mess with them, shoot them down, or pull them down?
Well, they are in a combat zone, so they are subject to some bad guys' activities. But aerostats are very low pressure systems, and so the when we inflate the helium in the balloon, the pressure is much less than 1 psi. So even if there are any unplanned projectiles that happen to pass through the system, it results in a very slow leak of helium, so it doesn't cause a great deal of damage to the vehicle. And those types of holes are patched up when we're returned to the mooring system.
We're speaking with Ron Browning. He's Business Development Lead for Persistent Surveillance at Lockheed Martin. And what are some of the results they've been able to produce so far? Do you have a record of what they can do?
Well, obviously, all the operational details are not available for public release, but the good news is that we do get a lot of feedback that we are having a very positive effect on the overall operational capability. And I think that's further reinforced by the significant increase in the number of systems we've deployed just this year. Department of Defense has acknowledged that they do provide a very positive impact in the effort, and this year alone we've delivered 28 systems to the Army for deployment in Afghanistan.
And I was wondering also, do they have any civilian use? Could they be used, for example, on the southwest border?
Well, they could. You know, there are some larger systems that have been deployed along the southwest border for many years that contain Lockheed Martin radars that provide border and counter-drug surveillance capability on the border area, plus there's a system in South Florida, another one in Puerto Rico. So use of aerostats, again, for long persistence, long dwell time, surveillance of wide areas is their strong suit.
It seems like such an antiquity,
antique.
Thank you. It seems like an old type of technology to use in this 21st century new technology age of the military.
Well, the key is to solve the problem as simply and efficiently as possible. So, doing that with a lighter than air vehicle just makes a lot of sense. And what isn't as visible as the balloon itself is the advanced technology and system integration that goes on to put the whole package together. So, whereas the biggest physical part may be this balloon that's filled with helium that dates back a long time. The components that capture the imagery, deliver the imagery, and interact with the warfighter are very much 21st century technology. And it's that overall system integration and providing a system that's competent in that specific environment, not just the combat part of it, but the very severe natural environment with severe weather conditions is where the technology is embedded that isn't always as visible to the casual observer.
It's blending that new tech with the antiquated technology. That's the word I was reaching for.
Right.
And now how often do they have to come down for maintenance, and how do they get down? Is just reel them in?
Basically, that's true. We have the tether is connected to a winch system, and so we in-haul the system. And again, typically maybe once a month, we will bring them down and provide some maintenance.
And just to be clear, these things are still really big. I mean, they look like they're as big as maybe a football field. Not quite.
Not quite. They're only the Peetz envelope is a little over 100 feet long, 74,000 cubic feet in volume. So it's fairly large, but certainly not as large as the systems along the south border that are about six times that volume. And so it looks big when you're standing underneath it, but in the world of aerostats, it's kind of a medium-sized aerostat.
Or as my grandmother would say, bigger than a bread box.
Bigger than a bread box, absolutely.